What I have to say today doesn't in any real way add to what I said on Saturday night or yesterday afternoon at the press conference, but simply to lay out the process and timetable that we're working to at the present time. This afternoon I will start discussions with other parties. I've already spoken with Jim Anderton over the weekend. I expect this afternoon to be meeting with leaders of United Future, the Green Party and the Māori Party, and expect to meet with Winston Peters tomorrow or the day after. He isn't available today because of a funeral. So that's the process, and we will be exploring what kind of relationship might exist in the new Parliament between Labour and other parties, should the result of Saturday night be confirmed when the final results are in, which seems the most likely scenario. I find in media comment there's a lot of focus on coalitions, but it's as well to remember that there are a range of relationships which are possible, and they run across the spectrum from coalition to guarantee of confidence and supply, to working relationships, to the abstention option, which has been mooted by at least one party. So there's a range of options to talk through there, and we will today start to scope some of those issues, perhaps scope what policy areas parties are particularly interested in, and also identify who might be in party teams to negotiate in more detail as days and weeks go by. With respect to drawing that process to a conclusion, while quite a lot of discussion can go on now, clearly the final count is a pivotal date, and by Saturday the 1st of October we must have that. And in the normal course of events, the writs will be returned on the 6th of October, which is the following Thursday, unless recounts have been ordered, and then the timeline for the writ return will slip out. If everything went according to timetable without recounts, you would expect in the week beginning Monday the 3rd of October more rapid movement to talk about the arrangements for forming a government. But if the time slips because of recounts, that would probably slip out as well. The Parliament has to be returned by the 18th of November, and that's the best part of 2 months away. Governments generally like to be formed a few weeks in advance of that, if at all possible, although it's fair to note that in 1999, we were sworn in as a new government on the 10th of December and had MPs sworn in and the ceremonial opening before Christmas. But that was quite a contracted timetable, and I think it's desirable to have more lead time than that. So, in essence, starting discussions today, moving in an exploratory way over the next couple of weeks, looking to the 1st of October and the final count, and then should it be to confirm what happened on election night, move to progress arrangements around forming a government. Any questions?
Would it be your expectation to have a government in place by the 3rd of October,
No.
in terms of dealing?
No. I don't think that's possible. I think what we can do is scope relationships, get an understanding of the kinds of roles parties could play, and could play vis-a-vis each other, because it's not just a simple situation. There's some parties who have views about each other. They might not necessarily have views about working with Labour, but views about working with each other. So it's a question of just scoping and exploring how that might work. I should also say that the Cabinet Ministers have met briefly this morning with the Secretary of Cabinet, and we've reinforced in everybody's minds what one's duties are during a caretaker period, because while out beyond this building the normal business of the government agencies and departments carries on, and all policies which have been in place continue to be administered, there can't be in the normal course of events, any significant decisions taken by ministers. Now, sometimes you may get a genuine crisis or a matter which has to be dealt with, and if that occurs, then obviously we would be consulting with other parties to ensure that whatever was done was able to have the backing of a majority of members of Parliament.
Are there any issues that are that substantial or any appointments that you need to make that will require that?
No, I don't believe so. With respect to appointments, some time out, we observed what was essentially a three-month rule, and where it wasn't possible to make permanent appointments, just rolled people over until governments, whoever it was, could resume after the election. So it would have to be something that hasn't really been anticipated, or something that couldn't be sorted out in the normal course of events with other parties.
Are you disappointed about how effective?
Strange as it may seem, I've actually had very little time to read a lot about what parties are saying, so I come to discussions today with a rather clear head, and I will take the people as I find them. I've known Peter Dunn for at least 21 years. I've worked with him when he was a minister on a backbench in the past. I've worked with him quite closely the last 3 years, and I expect we'll have a constructive discussion today.
It would appear, though, that the Greens are going to provide not difficulty just for Peter Dunn, but for Winston Peters as well. I mean, it could be that the Greens might be off to one side.
I think we just have to sit down with all parties, all five parties, in a good spirit, and work issues through. I'm not saying it's not complex. Of course it's complex, but I believe that all the parties involved are desirous of seeing a three-year term of Parliament, and that means everybody finding a way to work which is constructive.
Except the Māori Party, which has said that if they couldn't, if it appeared that they would have to compromise, then going to the polls, that they would be prepared to see that happen.
Well, again, I really haven't had the time to follow in detail what anybody's saying, and I don't want today to start commenting on what people might or might not have said. I'm going into discussions in a good spirit, and I'm sure that everyone's accepting the invitation to come and talk because they think it's worthwhile.
Are you confident it will be a Labor-led government?
I believe if the election result is confirmed, we have a very good opportunity to negotiate a government. That's the position I've taken since Saturday night. As I advised my supporters in the Mount Eden War Memorial Hall, the voters have given us an opportunity to negotiate, and we're going to be accepting that opportunity and negotiating in a good spirit.
Has the Māori Party still coalition with Jim Anderson already?
I'm assuming Jim is going to have a role to play in the government. I've always said I found him a very, very good minister. He was my deputy for 3 years and did a wonderful job, and he's been a very, very solid cabinet member, so I haven't given any thought to anything other than Jim playing a role.
And perhaps that's not a formal coalition?
Well, no, I don't see any reason really to vary the arrangement. Well, I've said there are five cabs on the rank, and we're in the process of talking to all of them.
Peter Sharple says his fear's gone up now, though.
Are all your discussions bilateral, or might there be some multilateral?
At this time, the only discussions we have in mind are bilateral, and that would be consistent with the discussions after each of the two previous elections, that Labor spoke with the Alliance, Labor spoke with the Greens. The Greens and the Alliance didn't negotiate. Last time, Labor spoke with the Progressives, Labor spoke with the Greens, Labor spoke with United Future. There weren't sort of trilateral or quadrilateral discussions beyond that.
What's the advantage to you of having a party in a working relationship instead of a coalition?
Well, it's not whether or not it's an advantage to me. I think that MMP poses small parties quite significant challenges. Small parties who've gone into government often have trouble keeping profile and visibility. So it is a genuine strategic choice for a small party as to whether to come into government when the government is almost inevitably branded by the larger party. So it's a very valid choice to choose a different sort of relationship outside coalition, and I can't make that choice for people. I start from the assumption that if parties wish to support our party leading a government, then we must find a way that serves the interests of both parties.
Well, if I can put it this way, in your view, what is a working relationship?
It's the kind of relationship that we've had with the Greens in the past 3 years. They actually didn't offer us confidence in supply, and they opposed confidence in supply right up until the 2005 budget. But that didn't stop us having quite a formal working relationship where they identified areas of policy they were particularly interested in and worked on those. But even over and beyond those areas of policy, they were generally in the loop on virtually everything that the government was doing. And the style of government that I've operated is to ensure that ministers and Labor members on select committees form relationships with counterparts in parties supporting us, so that we always are aware of whether there are tensions in the relationship and whether there might be problems for legislation or confidence. That has served us very well as a way of operating for 6 years.
If, as you said, you want to make as inclusive as possible this agreement you have, that should affect give parties the right of veto each other out, cabinet, as the United Futures trying to do with the Greens and maybe New Zealand First?
Well, my main objective right now is to see a government formed which can be durable. And that's been my objective in the last 2 terms, to get the kinds of arrangements in place which can enable a stable government to be formed. So that's my bottom line, and clearly the more relationships you have, the more likely it is that that will happen.
Well, then, I guess the question is, Peter Dunn has 3 MPs, a little more than 2% of the vote. Does that give him the right to say, I'm not going to support a government that includes the Greens and coalitions?
Peter Dunn will come in today and we will have an exploratory discussion about what kind of relationship might be possible. I know that relationships with Peter Dunn are possible because I've had a relationship of some kind with him for around 21 years. I've also happened to have known Jeanette Fitzsimons, so going back to my time even before I came into Parliament. So we're not dealing here as strangers who have no knowledge of each other. We're trying to work through what is the best path for forming a stable government.
Who will be in your meetings today for you?
For me, I will have Dr. Cullen with me, and also my Chief of Staff, and for the meeting with the Māori Party MPs, I will have the Minister of Māori Affairs in as well, and we will enable there to be media photos taken at the start of the meeting so that can be file footage. We don't necessarily think in terms of setting up photo opportunities day in, day out, but I think it'd be useful for people to get some footage.
What are your bottom lines, Prime Minister?
My bottom lines are to form a stable, progressive government with the kind of economic policy program that we've run. We obviously have quite a lot of legislation in the pipeline, but a lot of it is not controversial, what's on the order paper now. So I'm looking for a stable government that can really focus very much now on the strategy for the economy through what everyone concedes is going to be a slightly slower period and how we pick up from there.
Interest-free loans, are they there? Interest-free loans, student loans?
Oh, yes, we certainly will be needing to put up legislation for interest-free loans.
Are you concerned at all about the pension stability impacting on the economy?
I'm not detecting that there's any fear of that. I think the markets have had a good look at what's happening in New Zealand over the weekend. They understand me and Dr. Cullen and our modus operandi very well. And as far as I can see, everyone's taking it in their stride. They know we're common sense people and we're taking practical steps to form a stable government.
What is your attitude to reviewing the foreshore CPF?
Well, as I said last night, I would hope that that's not a track that people want to go down.
Prime Minister, have you had any talks of congratulations or anything from other world leaders, or is it too soon for them to do that?
I've certainly had calls. I spoke with John Howard last evening. I find that Australian politicians, including Prime Minister John Howard, are quite fascinated by the MMP system because it doesn't deliver perhaps the clarity of the results that you get in the preferential voting system in Australia. So he was very interested to hear about what had happened. And I said that in the normal course of events, I hoped I'd be seeing him at the Pacific Island Forum in Papua New Guinea within the next month or so, around about Labor weekend.
Did he welcome that possibility?
Well, I know John Howard very well, and I know John Howard will work well with me as he would work well with any New Zealand Prime Minister. He is very committed to the relationship with New Zealand. I have no doubt about that whatsoever, and I look forward to working with him. The other leader who has rung at this stage is the President of Chile, who's an old friend of mine. But I think that probably the reporting of our election offshore has left it a bit up in the air. So when you don't have an absolutely conclusive result, others will wait a little while to see what's happening.
Do you feel that do you feel some sympathy for the situation that Gerhard Schroeder finds himself in?
I think he's making a magnificent late comeback.
Do you think it's time to review the electoral system here, given the uncertainty? There's been a bit of criticism in the last day or so.
I'm not aware that that's a widespread criticism. I think that when New Zealanders voted for MMP, they felt empowered by it being able to have a little more of a say than first-past-the-post politics had allowed for. And I say that as someone who supported first-past-the-post myself because it brought greater clarity. But these days, if parties look like they're heading for an absolute majority, the voters head the other way. And I think that tells us that people are desirous of seeing more checks and balances in our unicameral parliament.
You mentioned STV, though. I mean, the Australian system. It doesn't have to be a throw-up between MP and PP.
No, there's a range of options, but I don't have any plans myself to put all that back on the agenda. I'm a practical person. The electoral system is there, and I endeavour to make it work to the best of my ability.
Is there any thought about reviewing the rules around advertising during elections, considering, you know, third-party advertising, considering $500,000 to be essentially a national
bank? Yes, after each election, the Justice and Electoral Select Committee does do a review of what happened. And it seems to me that campaign financing and third-party endorsement might be something they should focus on. We've never seen anything quite like what happened this election with third-party endorsement. Nor the manner in which it was used to smear people and parties.
That would also affect Labor, of course, with the unions.
I'm very happy for a comprehensive look to be taken at it.
You mentioned your goal is obviously to achieve stability over the term, but don't you have an obligation to enter a coalition with the Greens ahead of any arrangement with United Future, given that during the campaign it looked more like a Labor-Green ticket and United Future seemed to be more aligned with the National Party?
Our duty is to work to form a Labor-led government which is stable and durable, and to talk with a range of parties to make arrangements to that end.
And part of that is there an obligation to go with the Greens in a tighter arrangement?
There is a clear will on the part of the Labor Party to talk to the Greens, United Future, Progressives, New Zealand First and the Māori Party, to see whether, out of that mix of parties, we can form a stable, durable government. And I believe we can.
Prime Minister, there was some discussion on radio in New Zealand this morning, Colby Cannon, a strategic analyst, pointing out that New Zealand doesn't have the capability to intercept, let alone shoot down, a Cessna or a Piper Cherokee. Now, if it came to the case that you had a September 11th type situation, would you be prepared to, as a matter of absolute emergency, call on the RAAF to come in?
I think this is a totally idle line of questioning. I don't propose to entertain it.
Are you concerned,
No, I'm not. We made that strategic decision a number of years ago. Any other questions?
Have you spoken to Winston? I mean, or has somebody spoken to Winston?
I have heard back from Winston. I rang him when his answer phone was on, and he rang me when mine was on. We've exchanged quite full messages with each other, and there's an absolute commitment to meet. I'm very happy with that. My chief of staff has spoken to his chief of staff, and we're on course to meet.
What do you make of Ben Bresch's sort of relative silence today as to comments?
He may have finally realised that he rather overreached himself on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So you're saying you don't think he's got any chance of forming a government or even trying?
I don't think striking a triumphal tone was appropriate for the position he was in on Saturday night.
So you're saying he won the election?
No, I'm saying that out of the election night result, Labor has been given an opportunity to negotiate. I've been very careful to say that.
Have any of those parties you're talking to or planning to talk to indicated whether they'll talk to you exclusively or they'll also talk
no,
to you?
No, I'm very relaxed about who anybody talks to. But we have issued invitations to people to have discussions with us today, and I'm going to begin shortly.
When do you envisage going to Gov's house?
Well, you cannot say, because we don't have a final count until Saturday the 1st of October. We then have the possibility of recounts. If results get closer and it looks like a recount might have made a difference, although it's hard to see in the electorate where that would be the case. So I would have thought Monday the 3rd of October the discussion around how a government might be formed would be stepped up.
Right, thank you very much.
And one hopes for a reasonably expeditious progress.
Thank you for the dollar.